Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The first penalty flag of the NFL season might be thrown in April. One question first. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. Wherever you're listening, thank y'all for coming here. I don't know. We started every day and we talk, and then, I don't know, we talk again the next day, and they keep letting us do it, so thank y'all. I say the first penalty flag, which is not supposed to come until, like, that silly thing in Canton, but the first penalty flag of the season I think is actually going to come in the first night of the draft, about 5 weeks from now. And the penalty seems to be Jalen Carter, Georgia, penalized by five spots in the first round. I said that I have a question because Jalen Carter is going to have to be punished because he's a bad guy. He's a bad person, and he's selfish, and he's a character concern. All of these things are Jalen Carter, and so we're going to have to penalize him. And I don't know how much of a penalty it is when you have to go like sixth overall versus maybe second or third overall. But we have to, you know, some teams have to go, now hang on. Has Jalen been punished enough? Okay, we're at seven. We'll take him. But this apparently somehow makes sense to people, that it's okay if he's picked seventh or eighth overall, but not second or third, because he's a bad person and character. So, penalty, Jalen Carter. I said I had a question, and my question is why? As in, what if that's true about Jalen Carter? What if he does have, quote, character concerns? Now, understand, I am not talking about beating up a guy at the car wash or beating down a guy at the car wash. And I've not heard anything from Jalen in that realm. I'm not talking character concerns like intent to distribute anything. And that's also not anything being discussed here as far as I know. Here is, and I mean the very far-reaching extent, the border of everything I've heard about Jalen Carter. What if he's an arrogant prima donna? What if he's that? And what if he drives fast? And what if he told all his professors to kiss his backside, I ain't taking my finals? What if all that's true? For me, okay, those aren't the choices I would have made. Also wasn't looking at being the second, third, fourth, fifth overall pick. I also wasn't tossing SEC linemen around like I had wandered onto the middle school field. For me, I can look at all of that stuff and go, yeah, those are bad choices. I don't care. If I am life counselor to Jalen Carter, then I'm going to hand Jalen the talking pillow, and I'm going to say, Jalen, talk about why you told your professors to kiss your backside. Now, he may look at me and go, because I'm still like 19 credits short of graduating, and I have no interest in getting that degree. And then he would hand me the talking pillow. And, you know, like, if I was his life coach, I would care. If I'm his defensive line coach, I do not care. In fact, if I'm his defensive line coach for the Houston Texans, for instance, or I don't know, who picks right after that, like the Bear, whoever, I do not care. Because here's what I know. Some of the most unpleasant people in sports, some of the biggest distractions in locker rooms, the most selfish teammates in pro sports history, They are sometimes the toughest, most competitive players in their sports, and they help you win. Rasheed Wallace. We talk college football here, but I wanted to go across the spectrum because I didn't want to cherry pick some examples and, wow, all four of those college football guys who became pro football guys, well, Chuck's right about, no, let's go across any sport, like, because it doesn't matter. The sport is a detail. The shape of the ball involved, detail. The overall point is about you can have some really unpleasant people, rude, selfish, arrogant. And a lot of times they're the greatest players ever, and I will take them on my team every single time. NBA, there's a guy, Rasheed Wallace. Smoked a bunch of weed. Got bushels of technical fouls. I don't know. Dan, you're an NBA fan. Am I forgetting anything here? Because as far as I remember, Rasheed Wallace, do you know what he was in the NBA for, I don't know, like 5 years? Public enemy number one. Bad guy. You don't want Rasheed on your team. Cancer. And I'm like, I think he smoked a bunch of weed and then, like, yelled at officials a bunch. Other than that, I don't remember anything about Rasheed's a bad guy. What I do remember is Rasheed Wallace busting his backside every time he was on the court. I'd take him on my NBA team right now, whatever NBA team I'm a fan of. Lenny Dykstra, Paul Pierce, Barry Bonds. I'm not even a hockey fan. And I know two things about Ty Domi. He's like way, way, way too aggressive, like way too amped up for what, you know, humans should be. And in high demand throughout the NHL for 22 seasons. And my understanding is he was not that talented of a hockey player. He just kind of fought. Like, he's not somebody you wanted to go to dinner with. He's somebody you wanted to suit up with, though. Bad guy. Sure, bad guy. Arrogant. Absolutely. And no problem having him on the team. I looked at the NFL, and I just went, now I'm not talking about substance abuse and things like that, okay? Because those are different suspensions. That's a whole separate thing. I am talking about suspensions for violating, like, the actual rules of while the game's going on. Not I failed a drug test or I filled the cup and it burned a hole in the bottom of it. If you look at the past, and I didn't cherry pick, folks. I started with the most recent, like, on-field suspension in the NFL, I went back the previous 10. Do you know who the most 10 recent players to get suspended were? Marquise Pouncey. Do you know what he got suspended for? Fighting. That's not true. If you saw this, Marquise Pouncey got suspended for beating up another NFL player. He got suspended for fighting. Larry Ogunjobi, defensive tackle, Cleveland Browns. Unnecessary roughness. Hit a guy late, like way, 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 way late. Myles Garrett suspended. Do you remember what Myles Garrett did? He took the helmet off another player and started beating the guy with it. Vontaze Burfict, my gosh. Leonard Fournette, fighting with Shaq Lawson during a game. Jalen Ramsey, Dante Fowler, Nigel Bradham. Folks, I'll take every one of those players. Literally, I'll take every one of those guys on my team. Jimmy Smith. I'll take him on my team. If you look at the NBA history, and I don't know, it's 95 years, 100 years almost, maybe. I'm just picking different sports. Look at the all-time top 10 collection of technical fouls in NBA history. Top 10 players, most technical fouls, history of the NBA. Tell me if anything comes to mind with these players. Karl Malone, most all-time. Charles Barkley, second most all-time. We already talked about Rasheed. Rasheed Wallace, third. Gary Payton, fourth. Dennis Rodman, fifth. Russell Westbrook, sixth. Kevin Garnett, seventh. Kobe Bryant, eighth. Shaquille O'Neal, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Rasheed Wallace, Hall of Famer, Hall of, and I'm counting that, like, Russell Westbrook's going to the Hall of Fame and Kevin Durant's going to the Hall of Fame. Folks, I just went 1 through 9. It's Rasheed Wallace and 8 guys in the Hall of Fame. And I already told you, Rasheed Wallace, what I always saw, one tough dude who every single night showed up and everybody on his team was like, yeah, I'm down with Rasheed. I folks, look at any of these lists anywhere. Bad guy, character concerns, that gets way overblown sometimes. Nobody's coworkers are like 100% scoutmasters and volunteer of the year. Jalen Carter, welcome to my NFL franchise. Sincerely, any team after C.J. Stroud goes first overall. That literally is where I sit right now. This is not beat up the guy at the library. This is not open the trunk. There was like a body or a bale of weed. None of that. It sounds like a guy who kind of smelled me. And he decided to live his life around Athens in the classroom, on the streets, wherever. Wherever he happened to be, sitting in the dining hall, wherever he happened to be, he decided to live his life the past 6 months as if he were King Daddy. Well, guess what Jalen Carter kind of was? He was King Daddy. He looked in a meeting full of the most elite college football talent in America. He's like, I'm better than any of these guys. Now, I'm telling you, and I don't know that this is true, but I prefaced all this with, here is the absolute far end of the boundary of the stories I've heard. It's an arrogant kid, a little full of himself, didn't like class, liked to drive fast. I mean, I'm waiting for the, you know, damning violation here. More than like a 21-year-old kid who has heard how great he is, and then he keeps getting reinforced on Saturdays, and he's like, well, maybe I am that great, and so why am I going to class again? Maybe, maybe, if that part is true. If it's true, I don't care. Might not be. If he's got a real problem with driving fast, maybe he does. I don't want that to continue in the least. But it's not going to dissuade me from taking Jalen Carter as soon as I can take Jalen Carter. This is the first penalty of the NFL season, and that young man, I'm not saying Jalen the victim, not at all. I'm saying that there are consequences and repercussions at a level that doesn't really seem commensurate with being kind of arrogant and full of yourself. We break. We come back next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
What about who makes the play calls? Would that be him or you?
Yeah, I mean, we'll go through that as we go. Plan on him making calls. Plan on him calling plays. I have no problem with that at all.
Jimbo caught himself there. Like, he had rehearsed that probably several hundred times. As Jimbo, speaking of the media, Aggies getting ready for a rebound season. And Bobby Petrino is the offensive coordinator there. He was asked, so just point blank, so who's going to call the play specifically? Well, we'll kind of work through that as we get there. We'll know we're there. And so, like, he didn't have to be reminded. He started to correct himself. So now I got no problem with that. He's calling the plays. It's him. That was two really different responses in the space of about 6 seconds. Here's what I know. Bobby Petrino is going to call whatever plays on his mind as long as he is on the sidelines at Texas A&M. The first time Jimbo Fisher says, look, coach, I've practiced with Wegman. I know him better. Look for the 9 route with the double post under. I don't know, whatever. he suggests a play because I know the personnel better, and Moush Muhammad's kid can do this. Bobby Petrino, he may have been going to call that play anyway, but if he does call that, it's not going to be because of anything Jimbo Fisher said. And then there is the more likely scenario where Jimbo says, look, I know Connor Wegman better and Moush Muhammad, so let's run this and we'll run this off of it. I think that really, that in this one situation, I just want to tell you, and this is like the second quarter of the first game. What I say is, Jimbo, you know, like you weren't ready for that reporter's question. You thought you were and you've rehearsed it. That was awkward and weird and different and strange, and just, you don't need to respond that way again. Right, wrong, whether you believe it comes off as the truth or not, whatever your answer, I don't care what your answer is, but I know how this is going to turn out, is as soon as the season starts, Bobby Petrino is calling all the plays based on what he wants. And so you weren't ready for that question. Jimbo, you need to be ready for this. You're going to tell him, second quarter, week one, look, I know the personnel just a little better in this one situation, and he's not, at that point, he's back to the field, and he's going to start talking to his quarterback. He's not even listening. And you're going to say, and you're going to walk away, and you're going to start talking on that, and you're going to keep talking. He's not listening. He'll turn to a different channel. He's not listening. So you weren't quite as prepared for that. It didn't sound like. You were quite as prepared for that question as you should have been. You need to be prepared right now. What is your response going to be when an assistant who is underneath you on the flowchart ignores a direct order? Bobby, call this play right now. And Bobby calls what Bobby wants. You need to have set up right now what you're going to do. Because you know what can happen? Good, bad, dead, or buried. I've always, now this is one thing I never, he's the head coach. You want it pink? It's pink. You cannot have a situation where you start having somebody ignore the head coach. It's kind of like, you know, the dice game in the alley. If one guy doesn't pay, suddenly nobody's got to pay. So that's why it escalates pretty quickly. I just won, you know, $70. Well, he's not going to pay you. Well, if he doesn't pay me, now nobody's going to pay me. So that, Jimbo, you need to have that worked out. What you can't have is, end of the day, you've got assistants and players and whomever else all walking around thinking, oh, do you see what Bobby just did to Jimbo? Woo! And now you don't really have to pay attention to Jimbo, because then somebody else does the exact same thing. They don't quite have the, I'll say, the hand, the power that Bobby Petrino has. And Jimbo decides to discipline, to respond differently to that person. He's like, wait a minute, I just watched Bobby Petrino do it to you on the practice field four times yesterday. You didn't do anything to him. Now, that only carries so much weight. Because the head coach doesn't have to be consistent. He's the head coach. But it's good for him to be. It's a respect thing. It's a cohesion thing. And suddenly, I mean, the discipline breaks down. All of that, like, this is all going to happen. All of it's going to happen, I promise you. Second quarter, week one. And Jimbo's got to be better prepared than he was right then. Dan, how's your Tuesday?
See, this is a byproduct of when you think that you are above what probably should be part of your responsibility, and that's talking with the media. Because when you're 5-7, you don't get to be evasive. You don't get to have people just say, oh, well, that's status quo. That's what we'll go with. Okay, hey, we're not going to question you. Because you're exactly right. He caught himself because he's so bad at this. You can be bad at this. You can be evasive. You can be all of those things when you go to Atlanta and play in the SEC championship game, which he hasn't done. You can do all those things when you make the college football playoff, same category. All of these different types of things where Jimbo just thinks to himself, because he's got that $9.5 million next to him and people, you know, designated him as this offensive guru and this quarterback whisperer and all these different types of things, Let's be honest here. Bobby Petrino is not in College Station if Jimbo Fisher is better at his job. Let's just go ahead and just get that right off the top right now. Because if A&M were what they were supposed to be offensively, then we're talking about Bobby Petrino coaching with Barry Odom right now in Las Vegas and not being in College Station, Bruce. Texas. I mean, there's nothing against College Station, Texas, but let's just call it what it is. It's not living in Las Vegas or Henderson, Nevada. And all of these different things is just what just leads you down the path of some of these guys. And it's much more than Jimbo Fisher. I'm putting a name on it right now, Chuck. But some of these guys are just so bad at doing this job that I've even had players tell me before about, yeah, hey, they've said that I need to do media training. No, some of these coaches need to do media training because to them, and I understand that you can't care about, you know, some of the things that are being said about you out there, because more often than not, people just say things and they try to make a larger deal about it than it really is. Then they just move on to something else because they really weren't that offended and they really didn't care that much about it to begin with. They just wanted to be able to chase some clout in that moment. But in this case right here, you've had all offseason to be able to answer this question. I don't know when it was asked, and frankly, I don't care when it was asked, but how do you not have the perfect response to what Bobby Petrino's role is going to be within this program? Even if it is, Chuck, here's the way I would have responded. He's here for a reason. He's here because I wasn't doing a good enough job. We weren't doing a good enough job. That's why we made changes this offseason. So take from that from what you will. Follow up. Is he going to call plays? Absolutely he's going to call plays. But we're all going to have on the offensive side an input on what we do with the game plan and how it's affected and how it's executed on game days. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm still going to be involved. I'm not completely hands off here, but yeah, he's here for a reason. Those answers should have been said yesterday, and I didn't listen to the rest of it. I don't care because that was the part that was making its way out there. And if that's the part that's making its way out there, then you need to yourself follow it up and say, here's why he's here.
This is how I know that, you know, the general response, the general feel from listening to Jimbo, that it's on target. If the very next time that question is asked, his answer is way more professional and delivered in a way that seems like it's actually the truth this time instead of the forced truth. And here's my prediction, that there's actually going to be a call from someone. Hey, get me in your paper, get me on your website, get me on your TV station, and make sure you also bring up this question. He wants a chance to get this answer right a lot sooner rather than later. So I think that's going to happen as well. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Continue. Dave Bartu next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and it's all league, all year, all college football. Our next guest, though, we're going to start with just a little update on some statistics. He has applied some of his ones and zeros to college basketball and wagering, and if you put $10 on every game, like literally every game, and now there are a lot fewer games, which means my experience is it's easier in college football season for me to find a CUSA or Mountain West line that I think is a little off than it is for like a bowl game. I wonder if that happens in college basketball when there's a lot fewer games and like everybody's watching all of them. I wonder if the lines get sharper. I don't know that. I want to welcome on right now. He is College Football Matrix, Dave Bartu. Dave, how are you?
Dude, I am doing absolutely fantastic this morning. Beautiful sunny day out here in Oregon.
We're going to talk all manner of things that we normally do, personnel movement and such. Let's talk college basketball because we're now into the time of year where there's a lot fewer games and shrinking all the time and a lot more attention paid to them. You had talked about applying some of your principles to the wagering lines in college basketball. How has that math unfolded now that we have a first 4 days of the tournament?
Just been destroying things for the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
Just it's unbelievable. And for folks listening too, you know, just to remind folks is the model I use for college basketball is basically a spinoff of the one I use for the NFL. That's exactly what it is. It's just and when you think about it, basketball and football are pretty much the same thing. You got offense and defensive scoring efficiency, you got a couple of different ways to score. How good do you do that, you know? And when the talent is even, it's a lot easier to project. And when and in men's college basketball, the talent is very even. NFL, talent is very even. Women's college basketball, very uneven. College football, completely uneven. So it has been phenomenal so far. Even just brackets, I did an ESPN bracket with my numbers, and I'm 96th percentile right now. And I'm just trying to bet games, let alone just, you know, figure out how the brackets work.
You know, next when I see you, I'm expecting the four-finger ring, like CFB across one hand, Matrix across the other. All right? Four-finger ring for Dave Bartu. All right, well, let's talk a little college football, and we do have to start with the NFL draft. I don't have a pick. You don't have a pick. These 32 teams have picks. And actually, in the first round this year, there's only 31 because who cheated and got fined? Oh, that was the Dolphins, wasn't it? Yeah, they lost a pick.
Yeah, so I think 30, so. Yeah, 31 I think the Dolphins lost a pick.
Right. I think that there is a gulf, a divide, like normally doesn't exist with quarterbacks in the draft. There will be four taken in maybe the first seven picks, and there may not be another quarterback taken for like two full rounds, depending on what you think of Hendon Hooker and his knee or what you think of, I don't know, Clayton Tune. Talk after those first four, talk the gulf there, because there usually is supposed to be at least one quarterback candidate that you think about trading into the end of the round so you get the fifth-year option and all that. I don't know that there's a guy even in sniffing distance at the end of the first round.
Well, look at last year. We only had one first-round guy.
Yeah.
Pickett, that was the bottom of the first. I'd take Pickett over all the guys this year. So, you know, what the hell do I know? You know, there's a massive gap between, like you said, the first four guys that are going to go and then everybody else. If I'm one, I'm going to focus on an NFL starter pick. This is why I said Brock Purdy was top two, top three in the draft last year as a quarterback. And let's find a guy who's been around a long time. Let's find a guy who has elevated his program with weak talent. Let's find a guy that doesn't have a great offensive coordinator that he makes look really good. There's only really one guy that fits that bill that has less than a first-round grade, and that's Jake Haener out of Fresno State. That's it. You know, this draft is full of a bunch of guys that didn't accelerate their programs, that didn't win above talent, that didn't – basically their war, their wins above average. There's nothing here. Maybe a little Will Levis, but I think he gave most of that back this year. It is a – from a perspective of football quarterbacks accelerating their team, that is on short supply this year.
And that is one of, you said, elevate the program, and we've talked about so many examples of it, Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, you know, when you win 13 games and have Miami of Ohio as the number 9 team in America, that's not nothing. All right, so Florida's had about a week or so of spring practice and a break. Tell me about, I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, changing the D.C. 5 days before spring practice, you got to do what you got to do. But receivers coach and a familiar name as well. Just give me some of the shakeout when they've made, I think, three additions since, you know, spring practice was about to start. Just tell me where you think Billy Napier is right now with the additions.
Well, you know, I mean, the big one is D.C., right? I mean, everything else. I can't remember the other ones right off of the top of my head. We'd have to look those up. But you lost Patrick to the NFL. And then you went and got Alabama's linebacker coach, who was the two previous years the defensive coordinator at Southern Miss. There's not a lot to grade on there. It's one of those, if you don't got something nice to say, don't say anything at all. Because, look, he's been a DC for 2 years at Southern Miss. His first year, it was a step back. The defense actually got worse at Southern Miss his first year. Went from 87th to 97th in efficiency. Now, it did take a big jump. It was 53rd last year, which for Southern Miss is really, really solid. But it's 1 year. It's 12 games. So from my perspective, with the brand and the money that Florida has, I think as a DC, it's a tremendous risk. But who am I to argue with the intelligence of football with Nick Saban and Napier? That's who I'm really arguing with. I'm like, I really don't like the risk. I'm not saying he won't be good or bad. I think ultimately I just don't like the risk because there's not a track record of this guy. It's just you're taking a flyer hoping it works out versus somebody who's proven to be really good in the past.
That's Austin Armstrong over there, D.C. What about Billy Gonzalez? He's a guy that a lot of folks know the name, and he's been hither and yon all around the SEC.
That's solid. He's been a really good wide receiver coach. I think he is a 3.5-4 star wide receiver coach in our grade. He's a veteran. He knows the Southeast. He knows the SEC conference. Great recruiter. So that one is at least even, probably an upgrade overall in that position, both recruiting and on the field, and a veteran presence. You know, you brought a young guy in as DC, you bring in a veteran on the other side. I like a balance. I like guys that aren't hungry to be a head coach. So I think that was a good pickup to go with the young DC.
And Russ Callaway as well coming in. He's a guy that's coached at Samford some, one season in the league, et cetera. I think part of the problem, and this is why I say problem, this is part of the general, you know, exhale, is like what you're saying. I'm hearing a lot of B-minus come out of you right there, or maybe C-plus on a bad day, but B-minus on a good day. Like, you know, the floor and the ceiling, it's kind of there together. I think Florida fans, this is the age we live in, Dave. Billy Napier has a $7.5 million budget for his assistants, and he's going to like FAU to replace people. Florida fans were expecting a little more bang for this SEC budget, you know, sort of buck here, and they don't feel that they got it.
They can go pound sand. Just because a guy doesn't cost a lot doesn't mean he's not good. Okay, there's tons of guys. You know, I could build a rock star. Absolute rock star college football staff in the FBS using FCS guys. There's 4- and 5-star FCS guys all over the place. We got hundreds of them in our system, you know. So just because it's not a big name or a flashy one or doesn't cost a lot of money, I don't really agree with that, you know. And overall, you know, they had an upgrade. I think they had an upgrade. And I'm a tough grader. I don't give out A's. I mean, like 5% of the guys get A's. Do you know how hard it is to be a 5-star coach in our system? It's brutal. So Gonzalez, I mean, that was a guy that was on the radar for a lot of other ACC, SEC teams. Armstrong, not so much. And then with, you know, with the last guy you mentioned, it's you just hope he's a good recruiter. You know, as in that position, you're just looking for an excellent recruiter because you're really not asking for a lot of coaching out of that position.
And a guy that I keep meaning to ask you about, and I don't know if we've ever gotten there. We'll wrap up the SEC East here. And by the way, I agree with you. I mean, good coaches, you can shake the tree and find them anywhere, man. There's good coaches in high school right now. And that wall got torn down about 15 years ago. But I've read multiple places. We've got $7.5 million, and we went to Group of Five. Missouri, Kirby Moore. Fresno State's a place where I kind of watch some fun offense from time to time. What do you think about Kirby Moore?
Big risk, right? We got a big risk here. Now, he had an awesome year last year. Mm-hmm. Okay. It started slow in September, ended up being a top 20 scoring efficiency team in college football. So it ramped up. But it's 1 year, Chuck. It's 1 year. It's 12 games with, who did I just mention as the best possible quarterback prospect after the first round. So the dude may have had a senior veteran NFL-level quarterback steering the ship in the Mountain West. Scares me, man. It scares me. I'm not saying he doesn't have the talent because he put the number on the board. He put a top 20 offense on the board, but it was 12 games, okay, with an NFL-level quarterback. So, again, it's like Armstrong. We don't really have a lot of data. So just don't, if you're a fan, don't get too far over your skis on the guy because we just got 12 games and he had an NFL quarterback. So, obviously, the potential's there because of what he did. But in terms of risk, I think it's a very, very high risk if you expect him to do that immediately showing up next year.
Yeah, man, it drives the bus. Even every year when you talk about the premier coaching candidates who are out of work, who are going to take a job, what's the first thing we always talk about? The candidates will sift through the job offers based on, all right, who's got a quarterback, who's got a quarterback, who's got a quarterback. It is the first thing that a lot of guys are going to consider, at least, certainly if they're offensive-minded. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, jump back into the SEC. We'll bounce out west and talk some new additions. That is Dave Bartu.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It is Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show. And getting back. Talking coaching carousel and movement and personnel and such. Dave Bartu, he is College Football Matrix on Twitter. That's a great way for you to start if you have anything you need from Dave. At CFB Matrix, you can get him there on Twitter, and then there's all manner of ways from there you can, you know, get in touch with him. And there are other reasons to get in touch with him, including creaky ankles and hips and knees and shoulders. Dave, tell everybody about that.
Yep, hemforpros.com, buddy. Pro Athletes Hemp Association. All products made with NFL alumni in mind. The brand was made in cooperation with the NFL alumni group as well. So achy breaky lotion, warming gel, actually it's the number one selling full spectrum warming gel in America right now. Hempforpros.com, use Let's Go 25 to get 25% off everything at hempforpros.com today.
Boom. All right. Texas A&M, let's go as far out west in the SEC West as we can. It's not just Bobby Petrino in. Markell Blackwell, does that do anything for you, adding he's a running back coach in the SEC? Upon first blush, that tells me he's there to get signatures, not really coach. I look at wide receivers coaches the same way. Do you know anything about Markell Blackwell? Is what kind of addition is that? Because all we talked about is Petrino.
Yeah, it's solid. It's solid. Look, this is a good staff to begin with, right? I mean, it's what a lot of people see the record and go, man, you know, what's bad? I don't know. You know, because the talent's there. It's a top 10 recruiter, you know, and any top 10 recruiter, bang, you're a national championship contender. That's where they come from. You know, you look at the coaching profiles, they're all really good, whether it was Elko or Durkin now, you know, across the board, you know, with the running back coach, yeah, he's there to recruit, but he's also a pretty good running back coach. I don't know what to make of A&M other than, man, that was just one really, 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 really underperforming year last year. And, you know, Petrino, he could turn it around. We'll see if he's actually allowed to call plays. I can't imagine a world in which Bobby Petrino shows up and goes, yeah, I'm not going to call the plays. I'm going to let coach do it. So it's curious in terms of the direction, but I still think the staff is top 20 in the country, you know, 2 through 11.
All right, LSU, Brian, this is the funny thing about special teams coaches. We all know a lot more than we know. And I'm on like Dan Matthews. He comes from an LSU house. And so when I saw the news, I was like, hey, Brian Polian's out as special teams coach. Good. Like he yelled it. John Jancic. In as special teams coach. I've always thought John Jancic was a pretty good coach. Your dossier, your download, because he's coaching outside linebackers as well. I don't think I care about that very much. I think I care about him as a special teams coach, though.
Two things on that. Number one, we've run the numbers on dual-purpose special teams coaches.
Okay, guys that only specialize as a special teams coach, guys that do both. So it's like in this case, special teams linebacker, special teams running back. We have found that special teams performance does not get impacted by a dual purpose special teams coach. So I think they're more valuable. Bringing in a guy that can do two things rather than just one, I think it's money well spent. Now, Polian, top 25 special teams coach over 25 percentile special teams coach over the last 15 years. Really good special teams
coach. Don't say that in Baton Rouge.
Oh, you know something, but I look at the entire career.
Oh,
right?
I know, because you're not a fan.
No. And, you know, what sticks in a lot of fans' heads, too, are, you know, one bad event, a bad game, this, that, or the other. You know, but overall, special teams for Polian has been very, very good. So, now, did he even leave, or did he take a off-field
recruiting? He's going off-field to be their recruiting coordinator and an analyst and support staff, which, by the way, he's really good at recruiting and evaluating, actually.
Right.
And I agree with you. You know what their problems were? Like, they had, like, three times where, like, the return guy dropped the punt. And that's not really on the coordinator, but yeah, and there were some other issues. But I agree with you, you know, overall I think it's funny that we all seem to know a lot more about offensive coordinators and special teams coaches than really any of us know.
Oh, you know, the thing is, here's the rub. Here's the hidden secret that nobody's talking about. See, Polian now, even though he doesn't have a headset, guess what? He can still coach those kids full time. He didn't actually lose him. See, this is where, because now non-headset guys and coach. So you're going to see programs with big money, they're going to expand the staff. They've taken scholarship limits basically off of staffing. They can consolidate coaching power at these programs. It's going to make for worse college football because, like, Napoleon, normally if he wants to coach, he's got to quit. He's going to go somewhere else. Now he still gets to coach. But he just doesn't have to wear the headset on Saturday. So LSU wins double here. They actually got two guys, not one. It's not the way it used to be. And so, you know, you really didn't lose Polian because his mind is still there, and he gets to coach as much as he ever did before. So it's an advantage for teams with a lot of money that can stack these guys up.
All right. I just want to get your input just in general how this happens, because I picked – one example, and it's UMass. Head coach there, Don Brown, and, like, he's already got pitching stuff on him because he's already a statue. He's just old. And I think he's a really good coach. But he's not there because he has options. He's the head coach at UMass because that's a place he could be a head coach. I look at the only two staff changes they had this offseason. They promoted a UMass analyst and promoted another UMass analyst. I'm not here to, like, you know, beat on these two guys. I'm saying, if you're Don Brown, if you're UMass and you have no budget for, like, if you're promoting a UMass analyst, that to me has to be, like, as entry level as it gets in college football. If you're Don Brown or anybody at a program like UMass, how do you actually hire assistants? How do you do this?
That's the difficult part, right? Because when you get good ones, the big guys come in and take them. You know, that's part of my job, is to find the good coaches and steal them from teams with less money. Literally, my job is to consolidate talent for teams with more money. So
I'm sorry to interrupt. Daryl Perkins, he lost him. He was the safeties coach. Do you know what? Syracuse ain't a great staff to be on. It's a lot better than UMass. And so the guy literally left to go do the same job at Syracuse.
Yeah, for probably, what, 2-3 times the money?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're gone. You know, on the plus side, if he's any good, guys like us are going to find them. The numbers are going to be there, right? Only 2 years.
All right. Sunspots, acid rain, in a tunnel. I don't know what it is. Huge waves coming off the Oregon coast, but we only got a couple of minutes left anyway. I'm just wondering, Don Brown, how he's able to do this, because if you are adding two assistants in an offseason, and maybe you have great coaches actually on staff already. Maybe you actually have identified a couple of keepers there. But even if that's the case, as Dave was saying, you have no chance to really keep them if they are good. So that's actually going to wrap up Dave Bartu again for this week. We didn't get him back. Again, follow him on Twitter, at CFB Matrix. But and again, I don't know who Matt Lehman is. He's the new tight ends coach. He was a UMass analyst. I don't know who Michael Livingston is. He coaches defensive backs. He was a UMass analyst. Everybody's details are different. But I'm thinking someone who, quote, couldn't get on a staff in 2022, you can be a UMass analyst. And so that's kind of as entry level, or put another way, that's got to be bottom of the barrel as it gets. And that's where he went for two assistant coaches. You talk about swimming upstream, doesn't even begin to describe it. All right, we'll wrap it up. Back next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly, because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.